We've been talking about the girls in the Bible. Now listen, I'm telling you, I was late this morning, and I didn't even have my children. Is that crazy? Like, how does that happen? This is how it happens. My dog comes in with fleas. The phone is ringing off the hook, and then we run out of, like, soap, and so Dan's yelling at me, I need soap! I need soap! I'm, like, running everywhere trying to find, because we just moved. I don't know where I put the soap. So, I mean, if even without children, somehow our lives can find a little bit of chaos, right? So you have to find some way to get through it. And I leaned over to Pastor Eleanor earlier, and I'm like, is it okay that I'm living hour by hour? Like, people are asking me, what are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. Let's stay right here today because this is where I'm good right now. Like, so how many of you live like that? Is it just me? Oh, thank God. I thought I was alone. I'm going, am I the only crazy psycho person around here? So anyways, being a mom and being a husband, or a husband, I don't know what that's like, being a wife, being a pastor, being a friend, being whatever it is that God has put right in my hand at that time, whether it's a nurse because somebody hurt themselves or counseling, whatever. You know what? Just take it as it comes and see it as a blessing. You know, the Lord gives us things, and I just have to say to him every day, Lord, you don't give me more than we can handle. And so if you find yourself in that moment, just say, you know, God, you don't give me more than I can handle. I'm going to do this gracefully. I'm going to do it elegantly. I'm going to just do it to my best ability, and that's going to just be good enough. And listen, God is going, yeah, that's already good enough. So some of you perfectionists out there, let it go. How many clean freaks do I have in here? Yeah, me too. Okay, so I move into this house. I move into my mom's old house. I don't know if you know, but my mom lived in a big house. And I'm like, oh, where's my little house? I want the little one back. It's like so much easier to clean. And now I'm hosting all church events and like doing like a million things at that house. And it's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know this was a job. Like before I could just go home, kick off my shoes, keep like a room clean. Now it's like, kids, why are you dropping things here? And I turn into like, you know, the woman with all the heads. Yeah, that's me. And I'm like, I told Dan this morning when I didn't have the kids, I cried a little. And I'm like, I just feel like I'm just doing a million things, but none of it's good. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I'm doing wife, I'm doing mom, I'm doing pastor, I'm doing this, but it's just not good enough. And he's like, I think you're hormonal. I think you're, like, it's that time, right? And I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. Can we just talk? We're just being girls, okay? This is girlfriends. So, you know what? When you're in your moments of, like, having breakdowns, totally just go through it, girls, and be a girl about it, all right? When you cry, my mom just says that it is what your heart is leaking, okay? That's all. Your heart is just leaking. And so I love that. So, anyways, God's good. I love you. And we will get through life, and we will do it eloquently. You know, we can't be perfectionists about everything. So those of you that are perfectionists, God is telling me, let it go. He made me walk past the dishes to this morning, and I was like, no, I'm going to go back and clean those. No, you're not. You're going to go study. You're going to go get your message in your heart. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go do that. As soon as I go to sit down to get my message in my heart, the dog comes. He's like itching, 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 itching. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he's white. Like really, really white. So I look down and I can see flea, and I'm like, oh, gross. Okay, clean freak. Get outside. Don't even come near me. Like, go away. You know, like, not gonna vacuum the whole house, you know. And God is going, what happened to getting ready for the message? What happened to get back in there? Okay, well, I gotta leave my dog with fleas. Yes. You know? So listen, I did call the vet and they said that it's really hot. And so every dog is pretty much getting fleas. So just watch your dogs. Get that thing, you know, what is that? The Avantix. Little side tip. Okay. So, but God is good. You know, it's never dull. And I love his word because it always grounds you in moments of chaos. It always grounds you when you feel like your mind is very split in many directions. And it always grounds you when you don't know what to make sense of. Have you ever been in a situation where you're going, I don't really know what the right answer is for this. I don't know what the right direction is. I don't know where I'm going. I just know that I'm here for some reason. And God must need me to do something. And if you girls could like have a magic wand over your lives, and that whole path to, you know, eternity and the goodness of God was like right in front of you, wouldn't that be wonderful? Like just get on it and like run like gracefully, like, yeah, life's so good. This is more what our path looks like. Oh God, I'm just looking at that. I don't know where I'm going. You know, see, God says that he is a light unto our path. And so when you find yourselves a little, turn that light on. Say, Holy Spirit, can you just help me right now? Because where do you want me to go? If you need a good deal, girls, and you're shopping, go pray and ask God for a good deal. Seriously, I ask and pray for parking spots. I get them every time. You know, like when I go to the grocery store, Dan is always like, how do you do that? I'm like, well, you don't pray over your parking spot? No. Like, I got a lot of kids. I want to be up close, you know? So you just have to find a way. Do life with God instead of forgetting that God is part of your life. Put him in every moment of the of your life. And watch things change, okay? So just little tidbits from my crazy morning, okay? All right, we have been learning about women in the Bible. Pastor Deborah did an amazing job last week on Eve and our wonderful Mother Eve. And every time she said it, I was like, that's a little hippie-ish. Like, our Mother Eve. Did anybody else, like, think so? My mom is so funny. My Mother Eve. But she was a hippie. She burned her bra and everything. So, I'm so not a hippie. So, what we're going to do is we are going to look at a woman who is, I like the women that are kind of hidden in the Bible. Because for some reason they were mentioned. And some reason they had an impact. But some of them weren't even named. So we're going to look at a woman today who was turned into a pillar of salt. And her name is Lot's wife. Now, I've read many commentaries, and a lot of people say her name was a many different, several different things, actually. And so I just said, oh, who cares what her name was? She was a pillar of salt because she did not do some things. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, I want you to talk to the girls about not looking back. And looking back, it's really easy to do. And I was really, like, over the past few weeks been going through this in my heart, going, looking back, God, you know, but we need to remember what it is you've done for us in our life. And he goes, remembering what I've taken you from is not looking back. That's remembering where you came from. But looking back is like you want to go back to where that was. You want to stay in that situation. You are longing to be what was or where it was, and you're not going forward. And the Lord says he wants to heal some of you today because you've been living in those moments that you should have looked back upon a long time ago. You've been staying there. You've been living there. You've been hanging out there because it's a comfort to you. Because you never knew how to get past a situation. And you see, Lot and his family were in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a lot of sin going on there. It was so bad that God sent two angels down to Lot and his family. And they came into Lot's house. There was this whole situation where these people came knocking at Lot's door, like, who did you let those two men in? They were going to, like, go in and raid his house. People were raping children. People were raping people. There was homosexuality going crazy. There was, like, all types of sin happening. And God was very angry with these people. He was very, very angry. Boy, it sounds a little bit like today, huh? You read these stories and you go, oh God, the fear of God comes on you. Like, what is going on? That's why we always say, get right with God, keep it real. Because here this was a society where sin is running rampant. Lot lets these angels in. These angels give him a warning, like, you have to get out of here. Go to the desert. Lot says, well, if I go out to the desert, I'm going to die because there were people out there that were killing people that were fleeing. I mean, it was just as bad as in the city. He says, but can I go to the little city over there called Zoar? Can I just go there? He says, yes. He goes, do you have any family? This is what the angels are telling him. I'm going to paraphrase this because it's a lot of verses, okay? And he says, yeah, my daughters and my son-in-laws. He goes and talks to the son-in-laws and the daughters, and you know what they told Lot? We're not going anywhere. We're fine. We like it here. And Lot's going, no, but you got to go. we gotta go. I mean, they're gonna destruct the city. This city is gone. It's a goner. And they're going, yeah, no. So he goes back to his house where he has two daughters and his wife. And the angels literally grab him, his wife, and his daughters by the hand and drag them out of their house. Because they say to him, you have to get to the city. We cannot destroy this city until you reach Zoar. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty incredible for an angel to come in and care so much about you that they're going to drag you out. You see, he was related to Abraham. God remembered his promise with Abraham that he will have multiple generations. See, God doesn't forget the promises that he made generation upon generation upon generation. So Lot and his wife, they're fleeing. And if you can, go with me to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Got to get your word, girls. Bring it out. Don't just rely on the screens. Because I want you, that when life hits, for you to know where your Bible books are, for you to know what the Word of God says for yourself, so that no itching ears can come in and deceive you. All right? And it says, Genesis 19, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, who are here, lest you are consumed in punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took a hold of his wife, his hands, and his two daughters' hands. And the Lord, being merciful, led them and brought them to him outside of the city. We're going to move down to verse 18. Actually, verse 26. And it says, Well, let me just go through this. This is such so many verses. He says to them, run, go to those cities, and do not look back. Lot's like, okay, I'm out of here. We're out of here. So they're going. They're going to Zoar. And his wife stops, and she turns around to look at this city because fire and brimstone is falling from the sky, and things are being lit up everywhere. They're hearing screams. I mean, think about the devastation that she's hearing. And remember, she left her other daughters there. She had family there. I heard that, you know, Lot was, he was rich. So he had things. You know, maybe God is saying, let go of the things. He had to leave his stuff. He had to leave his crops. He had to leave his fields. He had to leave his home, which was well and beautiful. He had to leave family behind. And his wife stops and turns around, and all of us are probably going, I probably would have done the same thing. My heart would have been broken. To have to leave your children behind and knowing and seeing how they're dying, nothing was left in Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing. And as she turned around, she became a pillar of salt out of her disobedience to what God warned her of. You see, this isn't a pretty message to preach because it's not like smiles and butterflies and rainbows. But I think there's some pretty important things that we can learn from Lot's wife. Are you guys ready to learn? You got your writing utensils out? Lessons from Lot's wife. Number one, we can learn to walk in mercy when God has given it. You see, here they were, and God is dragging them out of their houses. He is warning them of what is to come. He is showing mercy upon them. Lot recognized it. His daughters recognized it. He said, the only thing I ask is that you don't turn and look back. You see, when God gives mercy to us, do we always recognize it? Sometimes we don't notice it as mercy. Sometimes we think of it as, oh, well, you know, he just kind of said that, or he just kind of was loving on me, or he just, I don't know, maybe it's just a coincidence. But you see, when you're in a situation and God knows that you're hurting, and he knows you're in a place of pain, when he knows that there's a people and a company of people that are hurting, he's there listening. And he's there to rescue them. It says that he hears our cry and he comes to rescue us. You see, he loves you so much, just like he loved Lot and Lot's wife and Lot's family so much that he gave them a warning. He sent two angels down to talk to them about it. He didn't have to do that. He could have just destroyed the city and moved on. But he cared so much about their well-being and the future of that family that he dragged them out of there with some angels. He even blinded two men that were trying to break into his house before all this happened. I mean, God really came to bat for him in the past few hours before this city was destroyed. And after seeing all this, Lot's wife was still distrusting of the mercy of God. She was given one thing to do, and she didn't recognize that mercy had fallen upon her, and she didn't walk in the mercy of God. You see, God wants us to walk in his mercy today. He has given you a way of escape. In Genesis 16:21, where it talks about the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. I mean, the angels were being merciful. They brought him out and set him outside of the city into a place of escape, into a safety zone. You see, you may be in a place that is dangerous. You may be in a situation that is scary. I've heard so many times that people have been in car accidents. How many of you have been in a bad car accident? You know that it was the hand of God and the mercy of God that has saved you from it. I'm telling you, God is in those things. He's in it. In my life, I've had some pretty screwed up things happen to me. And I was dating a guy who had beat me up pretty bad. And I was in this very abusive relationship. And when he was beating me to the point where I did not know if I was going to live, I remember looking, I was in some random apartment, I didn't even know what happened. I remember looking through a little slot in a sliding door, and the only thing I heard when coming conscious was scream. And I thought, oh no, God, if I scream, he'll knock me out again. Sure enough, I did it anyways, because I just knew that it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me at that moment. The next thing I know, I woke up in another room. And it was a bathroom. And so I got up and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I'm telling you, I was unrecognizable. I didn't know what had happened. I was disoriented. My face looked like a punching bag. There was blood everywhere. And there was a lady at the front door fighting with the man that was beating me up. Let me in. Let me in. I heard her scream. You are hurting someone in here. Let me in. And she busted through that door. She came in, and the man with her swooped me up and brought me to the office. She was a saved woman. She sat down and she looked in my eyes. She said, sweetie, God loves you. You could have died today. And I said, I thought I was going to die today. And she said, but God told me that you were here and to listen. She goes, I heard your scream, and I came after you. From that moment on, that was it for me. The mercy of God had been shown to me. I could have died that day at the hand of an abuser. But God saved me. Listen, what is your story? Where was there a time in your life where God had shown you mercy? I am so grateful. I don't live in that moment any longer. I've actually forgiven the abuser. I pray that he finds Jesus and his life is changed. But listen to me. I can go back and remember what God has redeemed me from, what he has shown mercy to me towards. Because then when I get up here, no matter what song is playing, I can be like, I love you, God. Because today I'm alive. Because today you saved me. Because today you gave me a testimony for women that know that they can make it through an abusive relationship and that you will come through for them. Listen, just as God saved me from that moment, he showed mercy to me in that moment. God was showing mercy to Lot's wife. In Psalms 136:2, it says, oh, give thanks to God of all gods, for his mercy endures forever. You see, my mom and me were talking about mercy and grace and the difference between it. And mercy and grace, sometimes people get them confused. Mercy is given in a situation. It will be a way of escape for you. It will be something that maybe you need because you're broken in your weakest point. God will show mercy upon you. Grace is given to you to get through and to do what it is God's asked you to do. But that's not for you. Did you know that? Grace isn't for you. Grace is to get you through, to give you strength, so that you can do what it is you need to do to get the word and the gospel of Jesus to every living creature in this world. You see, God has given us gifts so that we can carry out what it is he needs to do through us. You are not just anyone in this room. You are called. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. God is going to use you no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your story is, no matter where you've been. God knows what it is. He's not shocked by it. He's not amazed by your situation. He's not overwhelmed by your tragedy. He just knows that he is the Alpha. He knows he is the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows that he is the answer. So he will show you mercy and give you grace to stand in that time of weakness so that you can continue on, so that you can heal through those things, so that you can make it to that next level, into that next step of life, so that you can fight for who needs somebody to fight for them. You see, you were once broken, but someone fought for you. Someone prayed for you. Someone loved you. Someone cared for you through those hard times. Maybe it's your turn to pray for someone, to care for someone, to believe in someone when they don't believe in themselves. You see, that's the mercy of God. It believes and it brings a way of escape. Mother Teresa said, "I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and tend to him. I serve because I love Jesus." Abraham Lincoln says, "I have always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice." You can go a lot farther with the mercy of God than you can an iron hand that will demean and break people down. Lot's wife did not understand or recognize the mercy that was given to her, but we can learn from her that we can recognize and understand the mercy that God has given us. Point number two, obey what he says. I have to obey? Man, I'm not good at that. He tells me to do something and I kind of want to do my own thing. So did Lot's wife. She deliberately obeyed, and look what happened to her. She became a pillar of salt. There is actually still pictures of this salt pillar. She is still a standing testimony now to us. Do not disobey the command of the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but if there was brimstone and fire and screams and hell happening behind me, and I was told not to turn around, there's almost that fear inside of me, like, I am not going to look back. He told me not to turn around. I am not going to look back. I'm going to, you know, I mean, you could kind of see it from both sides where she looks back for her family maybe. But at the same time, our fear of God needs to be bigger. You see, we love to talk about the love of Jesus, but there's a whole nother side to our God. You're going, oh, man, where's Joel Osteen? He'll make you feel good. But he says that's his job. My job is to tell you the truth. And my job is to tell you, listen, today God is saying that we are in a dark world and he's not happy with what's happening. But he's looking for a company of people that will obey and hear the voice of God and act on it. You see, she decided she wasn't going to act on what God asked her to do. In Romans 16, 19, "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Sometimes we make things so complicated. You know, it's either good or bad. And in our world today, wrong is right and right is wrong. Do you notice that? Sometimes I sit there and I watch TV and I'm going, you made that like seem so good. They're sleeping together before they're married. But yet there's sweet music And she's married. I mean, there was this one show recently. I don't remember what movie it was. She was married, but her old love came back, and there was like her true love. And she's not happy in that marriage. So it's okay for her to be at the guy she originally fell in love with. And the music is so sweet, and they make it such a romantic scene. And I'm like, can someone call BS? Really? Like, this is sin. Like sin. And we're all gonna go, oh, this is so great and dandy. Come on, guys. This is a God who wiped out everything and Noah and the animals were saved. He wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah because they were in sin. You see, the fear of God is missing from the Christian church. And when we walk in obedience to God, we don't have to fear him like I'm so afraid of him. But I know he loves me so much that he's not going to let me walk down a path of destruction. So when he says, child, don't do that, I'm going to go, yes, Father, I am not going to do that. Have you ever been driving somewhere and has God ever said, don't turn here? Like it's like your normal turn. And he's, don't turn here. It's happened to me so many times. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to take a weird way home. And I don't know what happened, but maybe I avoided a car accident. Because before I got in the car, I asked God to get me home safely and to bring my family all back home safely that night. You see, what you pray, God will then begin to teach you how to get to the answer to that prayer. Here's Lot's wife saying, I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to do my own thing. What happens? She turns into a pillar of salt. That's just bizarre. I always wonder, like, why a pillar of salt? Like, why not just wipe her out like Sodom and Gomorrah? Because, you know, salt lasts forever. It is something that preserves. It is something that, when I went to Mexico, they didn't put their meat in no, like, refrigerator. They had it hanging with flies all around it and a whole bunch of salt. They're like, do you want a taco? I'm like, I'm going to pray over that food real good. But they were teaching me it was okay because of the salt. The salt will preserve that meat. You see, salt preserves. It brings taste. It brings light. We are to be what? Salt to the world, right? So he turns her into a pillar of salt. You think that there's a reason for that? You see, she was a living, preserved testimony of disobedience. I don't want God to make me a living testimony of disobedience. I want God to say, well done, good and faithful daughter. Like, I don't want you to have to be on display of what not to do. If you were a book being written in the Bible, what would be said about you? What would some preacher get up here and say, well, let's learn the lesson from so-and-so. What would be said? That's kind of a crazy thought. I hope they would not say Jessica became a pillar of salt because she was disobedient to the word of God. I mean, that is not what I want. And so here she was. She was disobedient to what it was that God had asked her to do. Obedience is reality to faith. It is faith visible. It is faith acting. It is faith manifest. It is a test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. That's pretty cool, huh? Faith in action. Obedience is faith in action. You know, when my kids don't do something, what is the first thing that happens to you as a mom? Do you get kind of irritated? Like, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times I repeat, Micah, take your shoes to your room. Micah, take your shoes to your room. Do you know what ends up happening? Micah's one shoe is downstairs. The other shoe's like somehow by the door. And I'm like, what happened in between this whole process here? Like, so then I'm like, Micah, come back here. Pick up your shoe. Now come with me. Let's walk over here. Pick up this shoe. And then he looks at me and he goes, Mom, I am really sorry that I did not do what you asked me to do. You see, my son is very convicted about not doing things right. Now, that's Micah. Then there's Titus. Titus, put your shoes away. Those shoes never even moved from the first spot that they came from. I cook dinner, thinking to get done. Go back, Titus, why did you not put your shoes away? You had like one job right now. He's, oh, mom. Then he turns into the baby. Oh, but I'm just too little. I'm so far away. I can't go put my shoes away. And then Chloe's like, oh, and I'm like, no. Don't help him. Don't baby him too. No. And then Micah, oh, well, I'll help him. No. Get your butt off the couch or I'm going to spank it. And pick your shoes up and bring them upstairs. Do you know what kind of knockout, dragout fight that is? That is a spank. He still has to get spanked. And we still have to walk him upstairs to show him how to put the shoes away. Now think about God with us. And we are not five. God says, daughter, I want you to pray for your enemy. Okay, yeah, dear God, just bless them. All right, so anyways, moving on. No. They're hurting. That's why they're hurting you. You need to pray for them. Okay, well, God, I just pray that whatever they go through, then you totally forget about them for like 6 months, right? Like you did your due. You did what God asked you to do. And God says, yeah, you haven't seen anything happen from it because you were disobedient. You didn't continue. And did I say stop praying for your enemy? What about that husband of yours? I told you to speak nicely about him. Don't uncover him to your girlfriends. Oh. But it's funny. We all laugh. All of our husbands do it. It's so funny. God's going, I don't think it's funny. You're uncovering him. You're making him look like a fool to your friends. You see, God is asking us to be on a higher level. He's asking us to take a higher step. And that starts with obedience. My husband always says this to people when they come to him. Oh, you know, woe is life and life isn't working and I'm not hearing God and I'm not doing, God is just not answering my prayers. And this is the first thing my husband asks people. What did he tell you to do last time you did hear his prayers? Well, one person said to us, well, he told me to move, go help plant that church that you guys were planting. Well, why are you here? He said, well, I don't know. Well, you're in disobedience. That's why you have no favor. That's why everything has stopped. That's why you're not hearing the voice of God. You have, in your disobedience, disconnected your lifeline. Disobedience will separate you. Disobedience does not find you favor in the eyes of God. It separates you from the eyes of God. He knows you're not listening. He knows you're not hearing. It makes him frustrated and angry. Think about that for a second. He's our father. We're his child when we don't do what he asks. Do you think he's happy about that? No. I'm not happy with Titus. Titus has to get a spanking in order to learn what to do right, right? You're going, she spanks her kid. Heck yeah, I spank my kid. And you should too, because I've seen how they act out there in the courtyard. I'm like, you need to spank that child. Talk to you like that. Mm-mm. This is what I tell my kids. I am the mom. You are the child. Do not forget that. A healthy fear of mama is a good thing, girls. Gosh, I pray for my children because they got to grow up with all these other crazy kids. And I'm like, Lord, let them be leaders and let them lead this world to your name because these other kids are not going to know boundaries. Anything's going to go in their life. This is a little side note. This is for free. Because we're mamas, we're aunties, and we're grandmas. And God says, do not spare the rod of correction. And maybe you have been. Oh, but they're cute. Oh, but they have a good excuse. Oh, but CPS. Do you know that you can open hand a child on their little katusi and that's still okay? You don't beat with a closed fist. I should go get a little rod right now and show you what a rod looks like. One lady took a branch off the tree and went to jail. I'm like, you're dumb. Like a little switch, like it stings, and the sting is enough for them to remember the next time I try and talk to my mama like that, she's going to pull that rod out and never, she's not going to, you see what I'm saying? There has to be a respect. We have to know our boundaries in the body of Christ. Why don't our children need to know their boundaries? Come on, guys. We're living in a society that anything goes, anything is said, you know, free love. It's like we're back to the hippie days again. And it's like only they're calling it coexist intolerance. And I'm like, yeah, right. You aren't tolerating anyone except for anybody that doesn't believe the way you do. You see, we're living in a very backwards world. So you guys got to stay in line. And in line means you have to hear the voice of God and walk in obedience. Whether that's how to raise your children. What does the word of God say about raising my kids? Because he talks a lot about raising your kids. Do not provoke them to wrath. Did you know that? Do you ever just bug your kids because it's fun? Like, I don't know. Dan likes to bug Micah. Like, he's just like, Micah, and Micah's like, stop it. And I'm always like, Dan, don't provoke him to wrath, you know? I mean, we can play with our kids, but sometimes it's too far. Do you ever do that? I do it with Chloe. And sometimes it's too far because they're going, I don't like that. Stop it. It's putting something not good in their heart. You see, just as the children have rules, we have rules as parents too. God's saying, let me teach you how to be a good parent. How to love them and not push them over the edge. Ooh, did you know God talks about being a wife? And there's a lot in there. Oh, we'll get to that at Girlfriends Women Rock groups, okay, in the summertime. So let's walk in obedience to what God has for us. I have a cute story. Do you want to hear it? A man by the name of Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day, and he accidentally got too close to the edge, and he fell. And on his way down, he grabbed a branch when he temperately fell to land on a branch. He looked down at his hoard, and he saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to this branch forever, and there was no one and nowhere to be found. There was no way to climb up this hill. There was no way to climb down this hill. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that somebody passing by would hear him and lower a rope and say something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack, Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I am the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise. If you get me down from here, I will stop sinning. I will be a really good person. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off there and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do and listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what you want me to do. Okay, let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go. There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, help, help, is anybody else out there? Sometimes God will ask us to do things that are scary, but we have to trust him and obey his command, and you will get off that ledge. You will be delivered from that cliff. Those things that you've been believing God for, you will begin to see come to pass, all because of your obedience. And number three, Lot's wife, lessons we learn from her. Number three, don't look back, but look to Jesus. You see, I could go and live in my past. Boy, there were a lot of moments that could have consumed me and shaped me in a different way. You know, sometimes I heard Brother Hagin talking about it, and he calls it a familiar spirit. It's something you're comfortable with, but it's not godly. Maybe it's a place that you are, you know, like maybe it's insecurity. Maybe you live in a world of insecurity. Maybe you live in a world of twisted self-image. Especially us as women, man. We can look at those people on TV. We can look through other people's things. And all of a sudden, we become way smaller. I love how Pastor Eleanor says, when you compare something, one of them gets smaller. And it's human nature for us. But when we look back and we go like this, all of a sudden we're not looking to where we're walking. We're not going where we need to go, but we're going back to those old ways, back to that vomit, back to that sin, back to that pain. We're putting ourselves back in a position of hurt. God is saying, that is not what I have for you. You can remember where I brought you out of, because that was my mercy and grace. But do not go back to it. Do not look back. Do not see what is happening. Because in your future is what I have your plans and your destinies for you. In Luke 9:62, it says, but Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Back then they had these plows and they had like a V-shape on the front of them and they would push them. Now, when you look back and you're walking like this, the plow is going to turn however you... Have you ever looked away when you're driving? You're kind of like, oh, when you look back, because you kind of veered off to the right or veered off to the left. That is why you don't look back, because you will end up subtly going in a direction you never really wanted to go in, and you will end up landing in a place that God never needed you to be. God is saying, stop looking back. Lot's wife lost her life because she looked back. How many people have lost their life because they look back and they never look forward to what could be, to healing, to destiny, to a new purpose, to a new plan, to a way out, that way of escape that we talked about earlier in the mercy of God? You see, Lot's wife didn't see it that way. Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on that thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You see, I don't know about you, but my past, I can look at it and it hurts. I can look at it and I could go, guys, stupid Jess, why'd you put yourself in those situations? And, you know, and all of a sudden I become beating myself up all over again. And the enemy, then I'll talk to God about things. I don't do this anymore. But I remember there was a time where I would just constantly be in this, like, forgive me, God. Oh, forgive me, God. Oh, and he, you know what I'd hear him say? I don't know what you're talking about. I already forgave you. Would you stop asking me to forgive you for those things? We've already jumped that hurdle. We've already gone over that bridge. You now need to separate yourself from your past. And you need to look at who God is making you into. You see, God had to redeem me. He had to renew my mind. I had to renew who I was in Christ. I had to find out who I was because I was so broken down mentally. I didn't even believe that I was pretty. I didn't believe that God had a plan for me. I thought I was this really screwed up person that everybody hated. And you know what? I don't care now. If people don't like me, I'm sorry. I love God and I'll love you too. But if you don't like me, that's on you. You're going to have to deal with God about that. You don't like my personality. I'm sorry, but he gave this to me. This is who I am. I can try and not be a firecracker and be in your face about things, but that's just not me. You see, you have to be you. But if you're looking back, you're going to be the old man. And God is saying, I need you to look forward because I have made you a new creation in me. And all things are new. Stop looking back, girls. Stop living in that old tragedy. Don't stay in the pain of the past, because God wants you to live in the blessings of the future. Hebrews 13:14, for this world is not permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Every day I think about, oh, Jesus, what is it going to be like when I get to see you face to face? And every day he reminds me, when you see someone hurting, you see me. When you see the hungry and you feed them, you feed me. When you take care of the broken, you take care of me. You see, my job is not done here on this earth, and neither is yours. You are special, and your past is your testimony. But it is not what you stay in, and it's not who you stay. Because God has a new you, a redeemed you, a happy you, a lovely you, someone who knows who they are in Christ, someone who can look in a mirror and go, you know what? God loves me. And he cares. And he loves my kids. And he loves the ones that aren't here with us here in this world right now. And he loves us. He cherishes us. He knows the ins and outs of my heart. He knows my every thought. And for us to live in the past is almost to me like a slap in God's face. Because he says, I died on that cross so you don't have to live in the past. So you don't have to be in pain any longer. So your heart doesn't have to be hurting all the time. So you don't have to live with sickness. So that you can know a new future, a new hope, and a new destiny. So you can walk in the things that I have called you to walk in. So you can be someone different than you were in the past. You see, God makes all things new. I love that. We live in the past, but it never allows us to rewrite God's story for our life. He's writing a beautiful story about who you are, where you're going, what your generations are going to be after you. Everything you do right now is affecting your future, your children's future, your grandchildren's future, your great-grandchildren's future. And I pray that every one of you has a destiny of God's goodness so that every generation after you will praise God and every generation after them will serve God and every generation after them will speak his name and make his name famous, because that is a good future. That is a good hope. That is shining a light in the darkness. You see, you are the enemy's scary plan. He is scared of you. Because if you can get rid of your past, if you could let it go and forget what has happened, he goes, oh no. I can hear him now with the demons. Oh no, she found out. She doesn't have to stay in this position any longer. Oh no, she found out she's a daughter in Christ and that she has power. Oh no. She found out that she doesn't have to put up with her kids not serving him. Oh no, drugs no longer has a hold on her. Oh no, sin no longer controls her. Oh no, she has found out that she is free and the chains are being stripped off of her. You see, you are stronger and more powerful than you know. Stronger and more powerful than you know. You, in the enemy's eyes, are a threat. But listen, he's not a threat in our eyes. He's somebody that I've already conquered. And I am more than a conqueror because Christ already conquered him already. And now I just had to walk in it. The end has already been written. I have already had victory. I just have to take a hold of that victory. The past is not going to control me. It's not going to define me. It's not going to make me who I am. It's going to make me stronger. It will teach me lessons. It will be my testimony, but it will not be who I am. Because I am a daughter of the Most High God. Say it with me. I am a daughter of the Most High God. My past will not control me. My future is ordained. And generations behind me are anointed to speak God's name. Amen. Amen. You see, Lot's wife missed out on her daughter's futures. This story goes on, and boy, could I preach about her daughters. You know, the Old Testament is really sick. They got their dad drunk and slept with him so that they could carry on his generation. Oh, yeah, it's like gross, right? Incest is not the best. So, pretty weird. I mean, seriously, I read the Old Testament, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to read this to Chloe tonight. We're going to go to a different chapter. Like, one day I will read it to her, but not until later. Because, I mean, there are some things in the Word. And you know, God put them in there. You know, you like to read some of these sleazy books, some of you. You know, like, so-and-so took me deep into the recesses of his arms and da-da. Gross. My dad would say, pew. I love when he says that, pew. Listen, the Bible has some pretty deep, dark things. The Bible talks about sex. Did you know that? The Bible talks about sin and adultery. I mean, it's pretty raw. But you know why it talks about it? It's written in there so that we cannot do it. It's written in there so we can learn from those that have gone before us and not make the same mistakes. Lot's wife did not make the right choices, and she was made a living testimony. Now she's just a pillar of salt, and people can actually go visit it. Pretty crazy. That has been preserved so that we remember to obey God, to walk in his mercy, and to not look back. Girls, let's not look back today. Let's look towards our futures, because you are the answer in this hard world that we live in. You were born for such a time as this. Every one of you is going to have a mark on this generation. Every one of you, the words that you speak out of your mouth are power. They can either be life and death. Let's choose life today. Let's love our families. Let's love our children. Let's love our husbands. Let's embrace the chaos. Let's do life elegantly. And let's love each other because we need each other. Sometimes iron sparks. Remember what I said? But it doesn't mean that that's not good. It means it just makes us stronger Christians so that God can use us in a new capacity. Did you get something from God's word today? Amen.